We'd like to thank everybody tonight for being on our night two of week three of this first ever nationwide gospel meeting call via conference call. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the minister of the Church of Christ located at 1005 West Little York in Houston, Texas. We welcome each and every person to our call. Those who are not members of the Church of Christ, you are our VIP. We put this call on with you in mind. You're a very important person to us. We believe that the Bible is right. And we believe there are men and women like those of us in the churches of Christ who believe there's a straight and narrow path, as Jesus said. And we want to know what we must do in order to save our souls. So you are friends, you are loved ones, you are neighbors, you are family members. And the reason you're invited to this call is because we believe you will need to hear this truth. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your love for the world. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who hung on an old rugged cross. And it was him who said, greater love had no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friend. And we're so thankful to be his friends. We're thankful for the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins and purchased his church, his wife, his bride. And every bride wears a husband's name. That's why we're so honored tonight to represent the Church of Christ. We pray for our visitors that they will be open to the truth and they would obey it for it's everlasting and eternally too late. And we thank you for our brothers and sisters all across this nation who still believe that the Bible is right. And that in the Church of Christ, we should speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. Do things the Bible way. Use Bible names and just do what Jesus said. Thank you, Lord, for your word that we can read and find the truth. And we pray for our speaker tonight that he would open your book of inspiration and preach it in such a simple way that the least educated person will ask at the end, men and brethren, what must I do? And they'll obey tonight. Thank you, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I am very excited about the success of our gospel meeting via conference call. We have thousands on the line already, and they're still calling. I've never, ever preached a gospel meeting where 1,800-plus people were listening. What a grand opportunity. And so we're thankful. We pray the church will be edified, and those who are not members will learn the truth. Tonight, my friend, my neighbor, when I was preaching in Arkansas, at the 9th Street Church of Christ, there was a gentleman who moved into my neighborhood, and I was coming home on a Sunday morning. He was washing his car. Yes, on a Sunday morning, this guy was out there washing his car. And I stopped by and invited him to come by, to come to worship with us, come to church on Sunday. He came the next week, and him and his lovely wife came in, and they walked out on me right in the middle of my sermon. I thought I had ran him away, but he was a recruiter. He had to go to work. The next Sunday he came back, and him and his wife both obeyed the gospel that morning, and he has been faithful to the truth. He became my assistant minister, was the minister program I had, became my reader, someone who knew where to go before I even called the scripture. That's how well he knew me. He became my best friend, my assistant minister, when I was in Arkansas, and I would dearly love him and his family. And the person I'm speaking of tonight is Brother Larry Bishop, who's now the minister of the Church of Christ located 1930 North 9th Street in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Brother Bishop will come in his own way at this time. Brother Bishop.
Thank you, Brother Tommy Brooks, for that introduction. He never fails to tell that story of how we came to know one another. Best friends for many years, though we're not in the same location We're always on one another's hearts, and we have been there for one another through some tough times in our lives over the last 26 years, and I appreciate he and his family as well for the blessings that they afforded my family and I by introducing us to the gospel of Christ. I bring greetings from the 99th Street Church of Christ, Fort Smith, Arkansas. As the minister, I want to thank once again Brother Tommy Brooks, Brother Stroud, Brother Flanders, and others who have had the vision to organize and put into action an idea that I believe will have a life-changing effect for many souls. For those who are visiting on this call tonight, we appreciate your presence. We appreciate the ones who invited you to be on this call tonight, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ, of which I will be speaking about extensively tonight. It is you who we want to make sure that you are exposed to the truth as it involves God's word and your soul's salvation. The scripture teaches us in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, coming from my most favorite individual, my favorite teacher in the world, Jesus Christ himself. He says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" We're going to be speaking to you tonight from the subject, the truth about the one church. Make no bones about it, not trying to sugarcoat anything. I want you to know up front that I will be speaking about the Church of Christ, the one that you can read about in God's holy and divine word, the one in which men, and the only one that men can be saved. I will be speaking to you about that church, the Church of Christ. Someone said, truth is a hard pill to swallow. What does that phrase mean, and why is that the case? That phrase basically says something, especially a fact or piece of news that is unpleasant or difficult, but which is unavoidable or must be accepted. That's what is meant by that term, truth is a hard pill to swallow. It's something that's factual, that is unpleasant to the hearer, but it's going to be beneficial to them, and they must accept it if they are to receive the full benefits of it. I have been face to face with many truths in my life. None come close to my up and personal face-to-face standoff with the truth that I faced in May of 1994, which Brother Brooks just spoke to you about, exactly 26 years ago this month. Let me explain briefly. The truth about the one church was presented to me on that day. It was a hard pill to swallow, but you know what? Thanks be to God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I was willing to swallow that pill of truth. Of all the decisions that I have made in the 56 years that God has blessed me with on this earth, none have been more important to me and those around me than the decision that I made that day to obey the gospel of Christ, to put Christ on in baptism, to become a member of the Church of Christ, the one I can read about in the scripture. I truly believe that a faithful Christian is the most liberated and free individual on God's green earth. No more need for pretenses. No more need for shallowness. All they want to do is please God. They're willing to stand up to anyone, anybody, in any situation because they are free, because they know that all they are here to do is to please God. Friends, listeners tonight, if you ever intend to be truly free, it's going to come down to whether or not you are receptive to the truth as it has been given to us by the God of heaven. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation with which you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, for bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Verse 4 says, "There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Keep in mind specifically this evening the truth about the one church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "There is one body." Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23 says, "The body is the church." Keep in mind where it says there is one body, he's talking about the church. What church? Church of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 says, he is the head of the body, the church. Ephesians 4:4 says there is one body. So we're talking about the truth about the one church, the church of Christ. I want you to take a brief look with me this evening at the only reliable source of truth. Anything that man comes up with is subject to change, sometimes just on a whim. But there is one reliable source of truth, and that is God's word. And this source of truth, as it is this, it is the foundation for the truth about the one church. And then briefly, I want us to look not only at the truth about the one church, but I want us to look at the promise, the plan, and the purpose concerning the truth about the one church. The truth about the one church. Keep in mind, I want us to look at that truth and then look at the promise, the plan, and the purpose concerning the truth about the one church. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul identifies seven all-important components of God's grand design that are necessary to help you and I get from earth to glory. I think that's why we're on this call tonight. It's not just because we don't have anything else to do, but we're interested in getting from earth to glory. That's why we're on this call tonight. And talking from this subject, the truth about the one church, I want to help you along that journey. I want to help you as you travel from earth to glory. It is my prayer that everyone within the sound of my voice tonight will one day make the journey from earth to glory. I'm not just talking about dying. We all going to do that. But everybody that dies is not going to go to heaven. Amen. Somebody can say amen when you can. Everybody who dies, don't think they're just going to go to heaven. Amen. There's another place called hell. And it's for those who are unprepared for this place called heaven. The source of the truth is identified in the word of God in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7. It says there, for there are three that bear record in heaven. Where are we trying to get to? In heaven. We're trying to get to heaven. So there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Let me share that with you again. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. I hope you got your Bible tonight or some kind of means of getting you to God's Word. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. What does it mean to bear record? It means to testify. There are three that bear record or testify in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Let the record show that there are three that have an unblemished record for standing for truth. And in actuality, everything about each of them encompasses truth. Everything about the Father encompasses truth. Everything about the Word encompasses truth. Everything about the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit encompasses truth. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Concerning God the Father. Remember, there are three to bear record. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Concerning God the Father, in Deuteronomy 32, if you got your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. Write these down. I hope and pray that you have some paper with you or something that you can record or go back and listen to this recording. But Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, it says, he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. Concerning God the Father, Psalms 31, verse 5 says, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. That tells me something about God. He's the God of truth. O Lord God of truth. Concerning the word that we spoke about in 1 John 5, 7, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Concerning the word, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in John chapter 1, verse number 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John chapter 1, verse 17, drop down there, it says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John chapter 17, verse 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Concerning God the Father, he's truth. Concerning Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, the Word of God, he is truth. Concerning the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6 says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Concerning God the Father, he's truth. Concerning Jesus the Christ, the Word, he's truth. Concerning the Holy Spirit of God, he's truth. John 16, verse number 12 to 13 says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. He says in verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into what? All truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Concerning God the Father, he is truth. Concerning Jesus the Christ, the Word of God, he is truth. Concerning the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, he is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, having established the truthfulness of the source, I don't think there could be any argument. The truthfulness of the source cannot lie. True and innumerable things about God, he cannot swear on any greater than himself, and he cannot lie. Jesus is as much God as God is God. The Holy Spirit of God is just as much God as God is God. So none of them are even capable of telling the truth. Think about this. All Jesus had to do to come down on that cross was to say that he was not the Son of God. But he stayed on that cross because he could not lie. They said, just deny, and we'll let you go. Having established the truthness of the source, let you and I briefly look at the truth about the one church. I want us to look at the truth about the one church. First of all, in promise. In promise. Isaiah chapter 2, verse number 1. It says, the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. In promise. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom should not be left to other people, but it should break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Let me drop this to you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 speaks as the church being the kingdom. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. And we know that the kingdom is the church. The church is the kingdom. The body is the church. The church is the body. And then he says, Matthew chapter 16, still talking about in promise. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, it says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed them unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. That's promise. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's the promise, that he will build it. They will consume everything else, and all people will flow into unto it. That's the promise. And let's talk about the truth about the one church in planning. The truth about the one church in planning, it involved Christ as the head. God's plan was for Christ to be the head. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 23 Say as for the husband, it's the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head in planning. It involved him being the head of the church. Not only did it involve him being the head of the church in planning, but it says, and he is the savior of the body, the church. So planning involved him being the head. And planning involved him being the savior. Verse 24, Ephesians chapter 5 says, therefore, if the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. If the planning involved the church being subject unto him, not to us, not to anybody else, but unto him, being subject unto him. Ephesians 5:25 says, husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. It involved in planning that Christ would love the church and he would give himself for it. That was part of God's planning for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That was part of God's planning, that he would sanctify and cleanse it. That was part of the planning process, that he might present it to himself. What else was part of that plan? Verse 27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Part of the plan, and he will present it to himself, a glorious church. No spot, no wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That was part of his plan. What else was part of his plan? That the saved will be added to it. It's God's protective refuge for the saved, not voted in by the members. Acts 2:41. Says, then they did glad to see this word was baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 47 says, praising God. See, part of his plan, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Part of his planning was that the saved will be added to the church. No voting, no voting, no letters. Amen. Part of his planning was that there will be no division in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Part of the planning, no division. The one true church also, to let you know, is the pillar and foundation of truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, it's part of the planning, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou art to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. God's plan was that the church be the pillar and ground of the truth. I've talked to you about promise of the one church, the truth about the one church, planning about the truth about the one church. Now, in purpose, as I prepare to close here, in purpose, to reconcile man to God. What was the purpose? To bring man back into their relationship that he had with God in the garden before he was expelled. The purpose was to bring man back into their relationship, to reconcile man to God. Romans chapter 5, verse 10 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we should be saved by his life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20 says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling, bringing. See, God don't have to be reconciled to us. Man has to be reconciled, brought back to God. Reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespass unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. And so God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Another part of his purpose was to glorify God through our lives. Oh, man, I love this. Knowing that in order to glorify God, I have to be in the church of Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 1 says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given me to you, Ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made unto the sons of men, as is now revealed, made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same church, the same body, or the same church, interchangeable, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power, Unto me, Paul says, who am least than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent, verse 10 says, verse 11 says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus. Verse 14 says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17 says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Verse 18 says, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height. Verse 19 says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Watch this. Don't miss it. I don't want to bring you all the way to the end, and then you miss your exit here. Verse 21 says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The church is the means by which, in which we glorify God. So here it is, friends. The truth about the one church I spoke to you about in promise, in planning, and in purpose. The truth about the one church is that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit promised, planned, and purposed it as a very, very serious institution for a very specific cause. It is not, nor was it intended to be, changed by man's whims to fit man's desires or needs. Anytime man starts adding to or taking away from God's word, he is in a dangerous place, and he needs to repent and move out of that place. The church was not meant to be a social club where people ought to be voted in and voted out based upon their wealth, based upon their health, or based upon their stealth. What are you talking about, their stealth? I'm talking about how much of their past they can hide from those that's voting on them. The truth about the one church, it started at the right place at the right time. It is delighted to wear the name of Christ, the Church of Christ. It shows ownership and who its head is, the Church of Christ. The truth about the one church, it worships the way it was intended to worship, in spirit and truth. It submits to the owner and obeys his voice. It's subject to Christ. It is organized as the head has instructed it to be organized. The owner has no problem recognizing it from all the man-made and initiated so-called churches in existence today. It will stand the truth test and its own record as being the one true church. God the Father recognizes it. Christ, the Word, Jesus recognizes it. The Holy Spirit recognizes it. What will you do? Present it with the truth about the one church. The question is tonight, what will you do? In John chapter 18, verse number 37, John chapter 18, verse number 37, it says, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. When you are confronted with the truth, what would you do? Will you say, I find no fault at all? Would you become subject to the truth? You see, God's plan to save man involves the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I close this evening, my time is short. As I close this evening, God's plan to save man involved the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 lays out the facts of the gospel of Christ. The facts of the gospel are the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This was a day like no other when he hung on that cross. He died on that cross. They took his life and his body off that cross, and they buried him in a tomb. But thanks be to God, on the third day he got up. What happened? He laid down his life for you and me. In order to become a child of God, you have to lay down your life. You have to give it up. That old man has to be buried. You have to hear the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the story about his death, his burial, his resurrection. You have to believe it. You have to have a change of mind. A day like no other. Picture yourself standing at that cross. Picture your family members standing at that cross. Picture us all standing at that cross, a day like no other. Here's this man who's done no wrong, and now he's given up his life for you. What will you do? Will you hear tonight how he died for you, was buried and rose again? Will you believe it? Without faith, you can't please him. Will you repent of your sin? Jesus says, except you repent, you cannot perish. If you accept, you repent, you will perish. Excuse me. Except you repent, you will perish. He says you must confess that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have all your sins washed away in the water of grave baptism. Be faithful unto death, and he will give you a crown of life. What happens in baptism, that important baptism? Your sins are remitted. An operation takes place. You contact the blood of Christ. You have the answer of a good conscience toward God. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You're born again. You're an heir of God, a joint heir of Jesus Christ. And then you add it to the body of Christ. And Jesus says himself, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. I pray that someone has been touched by this truth tonight. And I know maybe it's been a hard pill to swallow, but at the end of the day, you'll say that's the best pill, the most productive and beneficial pill I ever had in my life, that I obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. For you, just like the day that Jesus hung on the cross, the day that you obey the gospel of Christ will be a day like no other in your life. I pray that this lesson has been beneficial to you in becoming the child of God. If you're a child of God, you'll straight away that you will make this the day that you repent and come back to the Father before it's everlasting too late. There it is, brothers, sisters, and friends, the truth about the one church. At this time, I turn it back over to our host. Thank you so much this evening.
Thank you, Brother Bishop. I want to say to everyone, I believe everything Brother Bishop just taught tonight, and I'm very thankful that God has given his life, that given his son. I'm so thankful that his son gave his life on the cross to die for his body, his church, his kingdom, which is the church of Christ. And we believe that we know that God gave his son. His son hung on that old rugged cross and shed his blood. And we know that that blood will wash away your sins and add you to the body of Christ, the church of Christ. And Brother Bishop, you did exactly what I wanted you to do tonight, and that was to give book, chapter, and verse for those things for which we believe and teach in the churches of Christ. To those who are not members of the Church of Christ, we want you to know that we believe that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. We believe that you, like us, many of us are in the Church of Christ now because we didn't know that there was but one church. And that's why we selected this topic. And he's done exactly what we wanted him to do, to put emphasis on the truth being written in the scripture. And we want you to believe that the Bible is right over you. So we ask you tonight, if you on the call, you have not obeyed the gospel, you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, please get back with the person who put you on the call tonight and tell them, you know what, I want to be a member of the church I can read about in the Bible. Don't take a chance on this matter. The Bible says it. Jesus said it. And he told Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And Peter preached that gospel. And that is Jesus, the King of kings and Lord of lords. That's who you want to serve. And that's why we have selected these topics. We pray that if you have a question, that you would email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. If you have a question for Brother Bishop, I will get you in touch with him just email me, let me know. He'll be happy to talk to you about the things that he said tonight. Or if you're on the call and you've listened to several speakers on the same subject and you're convinced that this is right and you want to get baptized, you call us. You contact the person who invited you. You call me. You can call my number personally, 281-750-2702. That's 281-750-2702. And I will get you to a Church of Christ, and they will baptize you tonight. Tonight, yes, not next week, not 3 weeks later. Not saved until you are baptized. And that's how you become a member of the Church of Christ. We can't vote you in. We can't do none of that, as he said tonight. You got to obey the gospel. You got to be washed in the blood that Jesus shed it on the cross. And then the Lord will add you to his church, which is the Church of Christ. And so tonight, I want to encourage everyone. I want to say to the members of the Church of Christ, thank you for inviting your friends and family. And I want those who are not members of the Church of Christ to know that we invited you and we speak the truth in love. We don't do this to be offensive or to hurt feelings. We're just trying to say, here's what the Bible says. Here's one thing for sure. You're going to die. But die believing the Bible. I believe that the Bible is right. That's what you do. And so thank you, Brother Bishop, again, for such a great message and to the point as we understand what the Bible is teaching. And at this time, I'm going to ask my co-host to come on, Brother Flounder, and he will give us what's upcoming. And thank everyone for joining the program, Brother Flounder.
Thank you, Brother Brooks. I also want to thank Brother Bishop for that lesson on this evening. On tomorrow night, we have Brother Russ McCullough from Charlotte, North Carolina, speaking from the topic, The Truth About the Sinner's Prayer. On Thursday, May 21st, we'll have Brother Brandon Starling from Marshall, Texas, speaking from the topic, The Truth About True Worship. And on May the 22nd, on Friday, concluding our third week of this nationwide gospel meeting call, will be Brother Robert Harper, Sr., speaking from the topic, The Truth About the Few. We ask that you continue to call in every Monday through Friday so you can continue to hear the gospel message preached with boldness, preached in clarity, and preached according to the truth. But this time I direct you over to Brother Horace Stroud.
Thank you, Brother Flounder. And again, we want to thank Brother Bishop for sharing with us the truth about the church, the one church. He shared with us for those that, and I want to let us know that there are three target audiences when we preach, when the Word of God is preached each night, and we find that one, those that he spoke to tonight regarding the promise, the plan, and the purpose, showing us from Isaiah 2 and also Daniel chapter 2 that God had promised to build a church. He also shared with us about the plan, Ephesians 5:23 and following, about Christ being the head of the church. So he talked about that church, and that church has a head. Everybody has to have a head. And that head, spiritually, our body, is Jesus Christ himself. He also talked about the purpose being that God wanted to bring glory to the one body, Ephesians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians 5, about the purpose of the church. And so, as I said before, the three target audiences, one, we're speaking to that person that Matthew chapter 3, chapter 6, excuse me, verse 33 talks about the one being seek ye first the kingdom of God. We're asking those to seek the kingdom of God, those that are outside of the body of Christ. That's one. We also have that individual. We're trying to restore people back to the Lord. You may be on the call tonight. You're a member of the church. However, you have drifted away from the Lord. We want you to be restored. Peter said in his second letter that person, you may be blind, cannot a seer far often have forgotten that Christ purged you from your sins, that individual we're trying to restore, that you get your spiritual sight again and that you can see what Christ has done for you. And then that third group of here, those that we're trying to edify that's in the body, he also said in verse number 12, simply to put you always in remembrance of those things, though you know them. So again, each night, you have to see where you are. If you're on the call and you're not a Christian, we want you to obey the Lord. You need to seek first the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. Then again, those that have left the Lord, you that are Christians, we want you to be restored during these messages. These messages restore you, that you get your spiritual sight, that you're no longer blind and you have not forgotten what the Lord has done to you, and you come back to the Lord. And then that third here simply is to edify those that are in the Lord by putting you in remembrance of those things. So again, that each night, regardless of where you are in your walk, whether I'm outside the Lord, whether I'm in the Lord and have drifted, or if I'm trying to live faithful to the Lord, each night this message is for you. And so we invite you each night, as we have said, and don't forget to give us comments on the nationwide gospel call at yahoo.com. We are interested if someone obey the Lord. We want you to hear from you if they obey the Lord. If you are a person that have left the Lord and you have been restored, you come back to the Lord, you repented of your sin as the prodigal son did, you come back to the Lord, you was once dead and now you are alive, Luke chapter 15, then we want to hear from you that this gospel call has restored you back to the Lord, because just like the person that's outside of the Lord, to be restored to the Lord, you were spiritually dead and now you are made alive again through the word, through your repentance and coming back to the Lord. And then for those that are, again, in the Lord, we encourage you to be with us each night, part of that thousands of people on the call listening to the message each night. We just thank each listening audience, target audience, and listening on tonight. And let us close this session with a prayer to the Lord. Let us bow. Dear most gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we come to the Lord thankful for your manservant tonight, who shared the truth about the one church, and the Lord, in his simplicity, that from the least to the greatest can understand, have an opportunity to obey. And the Lord, we're thankful to those that are on the call tonight, that are seekers, that you will render obedience to that which you have heard, and obey the Lord by being water baptized for the remission of your sin. We pray for those, dear Lord, that may be being restored back to the Lord by listening to these messages each night. It brings you back to the Lord once you acknowledge the fact that I have left the Lord, I've repented of those things and come back to the Lord. And then for those that are on the call, simply, dear Lord, to hear the word of God and the support of the preaching of the word of God, we thank you for them. We thank you, dear Lord, again for tonight. Thank you for another excellent night. We ask the Lord that you allow us to prepare ourselves for tomorrow. This prayer we offer in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Stroud. Thank you, Brother Flounder. Thank you, Brother Bishop. And thanks for all who listen. Let's think of this as 40 days and 40 nights. COVID-19 rained down on the world, but the gospel rained down for 40 days and 40 nights via the nationwide gospel meeting call hosted by the Church of Christ in Harlem Heights, located 1005 West New York in Houston, Texas. Be raining down the gospel. Our Savior hung on the cross to save the world. May God bless you. Have a good night.